I'd like to read a few verses from the Gospel of Luke, Gospel of Luke chapter 12, and we'll just take a reading up at verse 16. Luke chapter 12, Lord Jesus is speaking here, Luke 12 verse 16. It says, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. He thought within himself, saying, What shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? And he said, This will I do, I'll pull down my barns, and build greater. There will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul has much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up for himself. So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." And we'll end the reading there, verse 21. Thank you. There's places you will attend for your last time, and there's things you'll do for your last time. Let me give you an example. About 1999, I think it's around about August, my mother had to go every year to the Old Lammas Fair. And I had the duty of taking my mother to the Old Lammas Fair. And what she would do, ladies and gentlemen, from one year to the next, she would save her money in a jar. And she would gather up about £200, and she'd go to the Lammas Fair, and there's this Scotchman would come from Scotland, and he sold nothing but towels. And he would barter with them and bargain with them, you see, but you didn't really get a bargain, he won in the end. And you paid £10, and you got a bale of towels. And my mother thought this was great, you see. But the thing was, she bought £200 worth of towels. And of course, one bale only went into one plastic bag. And I had to carry bags and bags of towels through the crowds at the Lammas Fair for my mother. And I would meet people from Lisburn, and I'm sure they thought we were the dirtiest family in the town, because we had near bought the Scotchman out of all his towels. Piles and piles of towels. Then my mother would make her way back to the car with her friend, and she couldn't walk too far, and she'd say, "Kenny, could you go and bring the car down?" I says, "Mom, there's roadblocks there, there's police there, and you can't get through, but me and Linda will go towards the car, you walk as close as you can, and I'll bring the car down." And I'm on my way to the car with the towels, bags pushing through the crowds, and I hears an ambulance coming. And I gets to my car, and I put the key in, I couldn't get my car started. And of course I says, "Lord, please, help me get this car started. I need to get this wee woman home to Lisburn, because there's no way she could take the bus stop or anything like that." And when I gets down to where, as far as I could get, the ambulance has stopped at my mother, and she's took a bit of a turn. And of course she's not too bad, and she won't go in the ambulance, she just wants to go home. And I get her into the car, and I get her to Lisburn, and I praise the Lord. My wife comes home from work that evening, and I says, "Valerie, my mother never see another Lammas Fair. She'll never be at another one. And you know, I'm not a prophet nor the son of a prophet, but my mother never saw another Lammas Fair. Now, by the way, neither have I. And I have no intention of seeing another Lammas Fair or buying towels at the Lammas Fair. So if you ever meet me at the Lammas Fair, will you please send me home? Because I don't belong at the Lammas Fair." There's a man in this portion of Scripture, and he never saw another harvest. This man never saw another harvest. And ladies and gentlemen and young folk, there's people up and down our land today, and some will never see another harvest. Some will never attend another harvest. Some will never bring in another harvest. Now, this man had a lot going for him. You could see, notice his possessions, it says in 16, "And he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully." He's a wise man. He's a hard-working farmer. He's not afraid to get his hands dirty. And he's got beautiful land, and he's got great land and blessed land. It brought forth plentifully. That just means to bear well and to be fertile and to bring forth abundantly. He's enjoying rich rewards from the ground, probably some of the best farmland in his locality. Now, there's nothing wrong with doing well in life. And there's nothing wrong with having a good business. And there's nothing wrong with having a good bank account. When I got converted first, you know, I could hardly open a Bible. And this fellow worked with me. He was a smart aleck, you see. And he used to say to me, Kenny, what about rich Christians? I said, Paul, I don't know. Really nothing to do with me. You see, I was only saved. I didn't know that Abraham was a wealthy man. I didn't know that David was a wealthy man. I didn't know that Job had an abundance of wealth. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not about having possessions. It's about, do my possessions possess me? Do the things that I own and possess take me away from the things of God? Do they rob me of fellowship with God? Do they rob me of serving the Lord? Do they rob me of helping in the work of God? And you see, this farmer enjoyed the blessings of God upon his land. Now, we live in a blessed land. And God has given our land much. And it says in this old book, to whom much is given, much will be required. And you've had much gospel in Ballymena down through the years. And for years and years and years. And this man knew the blessing of God upon his land. He knew the blessing of God upon his labor. He knew the blessing of God upon his life. You know, it's a wonderful thing to know the blessing of God upon your life. And this man had no thought for eternity. I wonder, do you enjoy the blessings of God and just take them for granted? Never think to thank him for your food. Man or dear, you know, you turn the water tap on, you get your cold water. Fresh water. They say it's good water in Ballymena, isn't it? It must be. It's free. And anyway, this man enjoyed all these things. Enjoyed all these wonderful, wonderful blessings. Why would God bless such a man? No time for God. No time for the Lord. No time for his word. Do you know why? Matthew 5 and 45 says he sends rain on the evil and on the just. He sends the sun on the just and the unjust. And I can tell you, folks, many godless people enjoy the blessings of God and take them for granted. And this man had possessions. And sometimes as Christians, we get a wee bit confused when the wicked prosper and when the godless prosper. You know, the psalmist was confused. Psalm 73, you read it. He was confused. He says, when the wicked prospered, there was no pains in their death. They were always increasing in wealth. They were always doing well. And he was confused about it. In fact, he says in Psalm 73 that it pained his heart until he went into the sanctuary of God. I'll tell you now, when you see the wicked prospering and those boys getting on in life, you get on your knees and you get into the Word of God and you'll understand their latter end. Why they haven't got a latter end to look forward to. And this man indeed had plenty, but it was also his perplexity. It says in 17, he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do, because I have no room where to bestow my fruits? He's puzzled now. It's a healthy problem to have. Man, it would be wonderful to say, I need to build bigger barns, and I need to build bigger sheds, and I need to build bigger places to store my goods. But wealth can bring anxiety. It says he thought within himself. The fact the land's producing abundantly brings this man great anxiety about his wealth. Now, the problem which some businessmen today would say is a healthy problem, is a good problem to have. Does he bring in the builders? Does he grow more? Does he extend? Does he do this? And does he do that? Sometimes wealthy people have anxious nights. I remember a Christian businessman came to me one time. He says, Kenny, let me tell you. He says, I've just found out one of my workers. He's into me for about £7,000 to £10,000. What should I do? Boys, he was anxious. He wasn't sleeping too well. And this man was a wealthy, wealthy man. He says, you know, he's got a wife. He's got a family. He's got a mortgage. But my estimations, it could be £7,000. It could be £10,000. What do you do? He was anxious. Boy, I went home that night and thanked the Lord I didn't have too much. Because I was able to sleep. And the big fellow wasn't. Able to put my head in the pillow and sleep. You see, and this man is an anxious, anxious man. And of course, his wealth also brings accountability. For he says, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my goods. Accountability comes into play. Does he lose his crops? Of course he doesn't. And of course he's like a few Ballymena men. He's not going to give them away for nothing. No, not a bit of it now. He's going to sell them, you see. He wants to make a profit. He wants to do well in life. and he's accountable now, and he's wondering now, and he's anxious now. I wonder tonight, are you anxious about your soul? Has the Spirit of God down through the months and the weeks and the days been convicting you of sin, prompting your heart, speaking to your inner man, and you're anxious? You know, when I was anxious about my soul, I could hardly sleep. My, many's a night I was wakened and wakened. Even in night work where I liked my bed, I was wakened reading the Word of God. I was anxious. I was anxious about my soul. I knew that if I died, I would have went to hell. I knew that. I knew I would have been lost. I knew I wasn't saved. And I was anxious about my soul. Sometimes you're anxious about your health. Sometimes you're anxious about your family. I have two girls not saved. I'm anxious for them. I have an aged father not saved. I'm anxious for them. And you know what you do when you're anxious? You cast every care upon him. We can't carry it. Too heavy for us. And this man here is anxious, and there's accountability coming into play. For a Christian, it's trusting the Lord with all your heart, isn't it? Lean not in your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He shall direct your paths. For those that aren't saved, you know the simple thing. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Bow down with sin. I'll tell you, folks, I used to help a man in a coal lorry, and I used to think a bag of coal was a heavy load, but sin's a heavy load. And the only one can lift it is the Lord Jesus Christ. The only one can lift that sin from you. Of course, this man's got plans, hasn't he? 18, he said, this will I do. Pull down my barns and build greater. There I will bestow all my fruits and my goods. Will say to my soul, soul has much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. And you see in his plans, he's got a big ego. And he doesn't lack self-confidence. And he uses the I six times, doesn't he? I'll do this. And I'll do that. And I'll do the other. And I'll do this. And I'll go on. And he calls it my soul. And you see, he's full of himself. He's worshipping at his own shrine. He's thinking he's deity. And you see, who needs God when things are going well? Didn't the Lord Jesus say that? How hard it is for those who trust in riches to enter into the kingdom of God. You know, you can live without Christ. But I'll tell you this tonight, you can't die without him. It's easy to live without him. I did for 32 years. Very, very easy. And enjoyed it too. But to die without him is to die outside of Christ. To die outside of Christ. And in his plans, he spoke of profit. This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater and bestow all my fruits and my goods. Now, there's nothing wrong with making a profit. Maybe there's a businessman here tonight. You wouldn't be in business if you didn't make a profit. Of course, you're in business to make a profit. There's nothing wrong with making a profit. But sometimes making the profit can be ripping someone off. You see, can you imagine a Christian businessman and an unsaved man comes before him and he knows what the deal should be and he rips him off, and then in the next breath he wants to tell him about the Lord Jesus Christ, who was full of grace and truth. Doesn't match up, sure it doesn't. Once you want to tell them about the Lord, you know what comes into play? Personal testimony before treasure. Personal testimony before treasure. We cannot strike a crooked deal and tell about the one who was full of grace and truth. He spoke of profit. He spoke of plenty. And I will say to my soul, soul has much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. I'll say to my soul, why, this man could take a bad year or two, you know. The credit crunch wasn't going to harm him for many years to come. He's plenty laid up. Doesn't matter whether he's no pension plan. Doesn't matter whether things aren't going well. He's got plenty laid up for many years to come. Do you know he's doing something Scripture forbids? He's boasting of tomorrow. You know, I work with many, many men, and some of them were boasting of tomorrow. Some of them were hoping to do lovely things with their lives. Some of them were coming out with their 30-year package recently. One man lived in Vonbridge, used to cycle, swim, walk, jog, planning to get out. 30 years only a few weeks away, keeping a smaller house in Banbridge, buying a nice house in the sun. Things were going lovely for him now. Then he went out for a walk one night with the dog, and he crossed the field, fell to his knees. He seemed to come round and get home. And he says to his dear wife, I took a turn in the field there. Oh, she says, we'll get the doctor and we'll get you to the hospital. No, he says, I'm okay now, I'm all right now. And I get up the next morning to go to work and went into eternity. He never got the 30 years. He never got the home in the sun. But he was making plans and he was making preparations. And folks, that happens in life. There'll be people in Ballymena tonight go into eternity. And they plan to be somewhere tomorrow. And it won't happen for them. And this man spoke of plenty. And that's what he done, you see. Of course, he spoke of pleasure. He says in the last part of the verse, many goods laid up for years to come. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. Now, this farmer wasn't all work and no play. My sister-in-law is married to a farmer. And boy, she finds it hard to get him to take a holiday, you know. You know, the farmers are hard to shift from the tractors, and this boy breeds pigs and all these sorts of things. And she likes her holiday. And she has to work hard on him to get a wee holiday, you see. Not the farmer here. No, this boy here is going to live it up, take his ease, drink, and be merry. He could drink the best of wine, you know. He could dine in the best of restaurants. He could maybe date the best of women, because sometimes, young men, you know, if you have a few bob in your pocket now, you can attract the ladies. Well, I had nothing. I had no looks, and had no money, or no nothing. So she just had to love me for the way I am. But boys, if you have a pound or two in your pocket, you know, you could attract the women all right. I used to work with a boy, and he wasn't a pretty fella. But he had plenty of dough. And he drove big sports cars and all these sorts of things, and MR2 T-bars. You know, you can lift the roof off in the sunny days. Well, boy, could he attract the ladies. And I remember looking at him one day and saying, it's not for his looks. It's for his money. This boy could have done that. He'd many goods laid up. This boy was going to live it up. This boy here was going to enjoy it, you see. And no doubt things would go well. And you know, he was going to do what Scripture says. He was going to enjoy the passing pleasures of sin for a season. There's pleasure in sin. I'll tell you now, there's pleasure in it. I've been there. Boys, I used to get a lot of pleasure in sin. But the next morning there was a lot of sickness. There's a lot of sickness and a lot of sorries. A lot of things like that there. But it only lasts for a season. What does grace offer? Eternal life. Do you know this? There's nothing like the Christian life. Now, there's nothing like it now. Being genuinely saved. Truly having repented of sin. Truly the Spirit of God living in the heart and in the life. There's nothing like knowing the Savior. And he doesn't only save, he satisfies. The Lord Jesus satisfies. That's why last night some boy went out in Ballymena and he painted the town red. And he's out tonight and he needs a bigger bucket and he needs a bigger brush. If he's going to do it again. The Lord Jesus saves and the Lord Jesus satisfies. Young man in Lisburn at this present time. He's 42 years of age. He was a pretty boy when he was young. He was a schoolboy international footballer for Northern Ireland. Goalkeeper. He had trials across the water. He was good looking and athletic. He came home when England didn't work out. He played about the Irish League. He joined the RUC. He earned big money. He done a lot of drinking. Today's hardly a tooth in his head at 42. I'm 51 and they're all still my own. He can hardly put his own shoes on. You see, he was at the pleasures of sin. And dear help him, they've only lasted for a season. And at 42 years of age, he's a done man. I'll tell you, the devil's hard to serve, isn't he? I'll tell you, he pays good wages. He always gives a bonus. And that can happen. He spoke of pleasure. And that's what happened to this man. You know, it's so easy today. My, pray for your young folk. And pray that God will save them young. Because there's a dirty, filthy world out there. And they want our young people. And they want to attract them with all the pleasures of the world and all the things of the world. My own father started as a boy sailor, 16, and he took a glass of cider. 35 years later, broken home, broken marriage, no job, and 6 months to live. 6 months to live. Now, he's not a saved man today, but once the consultant told him he had 6 months to live, he frightened him. He frightened him. And he gave it up. And he says, "Oh, only started with a wee glass of cider as a boy sailor." You see, that's what pleasure does. It fools them. It fools them. And of course, there wasn't only his possessions and his perplexity and his plans. Lastly, his party. But God said unto him, verse 20, "Thy fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Now the Savior does something here. He lets us see how this man lived. He lets us see how this man labored. And you know, ladies and gentlemen, the solemn thing is, he lets us see how this man left this scene of time. You know, we can see how people leave this scene of time. And sometimes it's not nice to see. Two thoughts and I'm finished. His soul would be lost. But God said unto him, "Why fool?" Now I would call no man a fool, but it's a fool that dies outside of Christ. It's a fool that leaves this scene of time unsaved. It's a fool that leaves this scene of time unrepentant of their sin. His soul would be lost. Remember, a friend of ours died young, and a fellow I worked with who I never even thought he would have said it this way. He spoke to me on the phone. He says, "Can I?" He's in hell. He's in hell. It's an unsaved man said it. He says, "Can I?" Wee Marty's in hell. Died outside of Christ. Died outside of Christ. His soul would be lost. And it's a terrible thing to lose your soul. Man, a dear, you can lose your home. You can lose your business. You can lose your health. But to lose your soul. You see, you would say about this man, "What shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" And you could lose your soul down outside of Christ. You know, Proverbs 14:12 says, doesn't it, "There is a way which seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death." Talking to a man one day, and he didn't believe there was a God, there was a judgment, there was this, there was that. Say, "Well, sir, you've an appointment and you have to keep it." Now, you can be late for appointments. Sometimes the ladies turn up late on their wedding day. And boys, if I was ever getting married again, she's late, I'd be away home. I wouldn't be hanging about, tell you the truth. Now, appointed unto men once to die, and after this, the judgment. Sitting in a football game one day, and boy, this team was playing bad. Not going to name them. And this boy, he was taking the Lord's name in vain. I tapped him on the shoulder and said, "Excuse me, sir, it's not the Lord's fault they're getting beat. Not the Lord's fault they're getting beat." And of course, maybe I said it to him, he went on a wee bit more, and as he's leaving the game, I says, "Now, excuse me, sir, you have to meet him someday. See the Jesus you were cursing, sir, you have to meet him someday. Have to turn up, have to give an account, have to appear before him." And of course, his soul would be lost. I wonder in Ballymena tonight, is there one in this meeting? And if God said to you tonight, your soul was required of you, would you be saved? Would you have genuinely repented of your sin? You know, Ulster's full of professions. But some of them don't know what it means to be possessions. I went into a police canteen one day and I told all these things I was saved. And all the lassies were coming out of the cobwebs. "Kenny, I'm saved. I'm..." "Say, where were you on Wednesday night? The coach in Bonbridge?" "Aye." "The Lord doesn't send you to dens of iniquity. He saves you out of them." "Nor a wee rascal," he says. "And he's saved too. He's a drunkard. Say, a wee lad's a liar. And he smokes and he drinks and he runs down nightclubs. Sit down Sunday, I get a word with you. What are you telling these people you're saved for?" You're running about there with bottles and this and that. You know what he said to me? I thought he was trying to make a fool of me. He says, doesn't it say in the Bible, be filled with the Spirit? He says, hey, son, it does. But it's the Holy Spirit. It's not the stuff you buy for $9.99 in a bottle. Ah, not a bit of it. You know, some of them are going to get a shock when God says, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. His soul would be lost. Lastly, and I'm finished, his substance would be left. Says it in the text. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? You know, the family one time were anxious when the relative died, and he was a well-to-do man, and the solicitor called them all in for the reading of the will. And of course, you think you're getting your hands on a few bob, and the eyes begin to sparkle. And they says to the solicitor, sir, with one question, how much did he leave? Oh, he says, that's very simple. He left it all. And you see, we'll leave it all. Ladies and gentlemen, we'll leave it all behind. It's all left. And you see, you need to die in Christ. The Bible says, blessed are the dead that die in the Lord. I buried a woman one day and they were all weeping and wailing and crying. I says, folks, she's not dead. She's very much alive. She's absent from her body and she's present with the Lord. She's alive more today than she's ever been. And that's the glory of dying as a Christian. Oh, I want to live. But listen, we die in the Lord. Our souls are saved for time and our souls are saved for eternity. And it's came through repentance of sin. It's came through receiving the Saviour. It's came through counting the cost of dying outside of Christ. Is it your possessions holding you back? Is it your possessions holding you back? I heard of a man and he says I couldn't come to Christ because he dodged the tax man. Is it dodging the tax man? Is it striking a crooked deal? Is it knowing that it would cost you something? What about the perplexity, anxious about your soul tonight? You concerned about it? What about your plans? What's your plans for tomorrow? What's your plans for tomorrow? Well, you hope to do this and you hope to do that. So do I. I hope to be in Enniskillen preaching tomorrow night, but maybe not. But then what about your parting? What would your parting be? Will you die in Christ? Or will you die out of Christ? Now listen, I think Mr. McLarnon's to go to another meeting. There's men here and women here. And I'm sure if you were concerned about your soul, they could point you to the Christ of God from the Word of God. And then this would be the harvest of harvests. Thank you and amen. Thank you.